Welcome to the latest episode of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Marina Antunes of Row3.com and Quieter.us, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen.
Dale.
Wow. Okay. We became very untalkative all of a sudden.
Okay. Terminal City Tales.
Thank you. Welcome to the littlest hobo media spew for November.
Cool. You know,
the pizza was supposed to energize us, not put us into a food coma. No, this does not have the correct effect.
This is the boring stuff. It's the stuff we watch that's the interesting stuff.
Exactly. So, well, why don't we jump right in? So we're going to talk about some stuff that we've been watching and listening to and reading. Who wants to go first and where do we want to start?
I'll start with books.
Okay.
We're going old school media.
Let's do it.
All right. I found a new author that I like. His name is Mark Douglas Home. He has a sea detective series where the guy studies and has like a doctorate in tidal currents. That's how he solves crime. I love
tidal currents.
Oh yeah, currents, like how things float in the water and where they wash up, where they get sucked down underwater. Like that's his thing. And okay. He solves crime.
Life is like a tidal current.
Sure.
That's for new stuff, for old stuff. I just finished off the book Shitori, which is the prequel to the book Shibumi. And if you haven't read Shibumi, you should really get a copy and read Shibumi because it is batshit crazy. And the prequel that wasn't written by the original author because he's already dead, was pretty good. It stayed true to the character of Nicholas Hell and
the craziness of the first book.
Yeah, it's pretty damn crazy, yeah. And that's it for books.
Did you read anything, Dale?
I found an old Anne McCaffrey book that I hadn't read called Freedom's Landing.
Nice.
And Anne McCaffrey was one of the first authors I ever read. This is one of... I have no idea where this falls in her catalog. And wow, talk about not holding up well.
Oh.
I think it's an older book. It must be one of her earlier ones, I'm guessing. And compared to some of the great fiction that I'm reading now, I think it suffers from its time.
No. It tends to happen sometimes. It's like movies, but they don't always hold up.
It was a fairly quick read, and it was something different. So there you go.
I did read something. Woo. It's not a full book. Well, I actually did read a full book as well, but I can't really remember what it was, so obviously it wasn't worth mentioning. But leading up to the release of Arrival, I read, I picked up Story of Your Life, Ted Chiang's collection of short stories that the movie is loosely based on.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of started in the middle because Story of Your Life is actually like the third story in the book or something, so I skipped ahead, which is really hard. On an ebook, it's the one bad part. It's hard to skip ahead.
Yep.
I had a hard time finding the beginning of it, and then I had to go back to the beginning of the book. So I read that story, which is amazing, and I went back and started reading the book from the beginning. Short stories are usually not my thing, but his writing is really interesting, and the stories are really interesting, so I'm finding I'm really kind of knee-deep in it, and I'm really enjoying it, so that's what I'm reading at the moment. And I'm reading a couple of comic books, too.
Excellent. Comic books?
Wonder Woman Year One.
Oh, yeah.
Volume One, which is really, really good.
Excellent.
I did finally start reading Lucifer, which V had lent me like eons ago, and it's been sitting on my nightstand. So during Spark, I found that my brain was always like racing at the end of the night, at least like the 2 weeks leading up to it. So I found that reading for a little bit was like calming. So yeah, I started digging into some of the comic books that I had on the nightstand. So Lucifer, I've read volume one and I really enjoyed it. The show is, they've taken just like one small segment of it for the show, which I really like. But it's kind of neat to read the comics because I actually like these. I didn't care for Preacher, but these ones I'm really, really liking. So that's what I'm reading.
Excellent.
Yeah, ongoing project.
There are a whole bunch of books I keep hearing about that I want to read, so I really need to visit a bookstore.
Yeah, I have an ongoing list. It's long.
I don't have a book reader that I like, electronic one that I like using anymore. So
I am actually
maybe I'm just going to buy a book.
I'm really liking my Kobo though. I had a Kindle for a long time, and when my dad's last Kindle died, I gave him mine because he's very adverse to change. Like, he gets used to something and it's hard for him to sort of switch to something new. So I had given him my old Kindle because it worked very similar to the one he had before, and you couldn't buy that one anymore. And he's now moved on to the Kobo, and he liked it so much, and I had set it up for him, and I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of nice. So I bought one on sale for, like, really cheap.
Nice.
And I'm really liking it. I mean, it's small, so it's you can fit it in anything.
Is it the one with the glow so you can read at night? Yeah. That's the one I have.
And it's really easy on the eyes, and I'm really enjoying it. So I find I've been reading a lot more
lately. That's part of the problem with the one I have. Like, it's really great in the sunlight, but it's slow. If you ever, God forbid, lose a place.
Oh, I know.
Trying to get back to where you were before is just painful.
There's a way of going to the table of contents. If you remember, you're at least your chapter, and you can skip ahead to that.
Yeah.
And I like buying stuff without DRM. So
yeah,
some of the stuff isn't available that way.
I'm more like with books. I'm not quite as like, it doesn't bother me as much. Music DRM fucking pisses me off, and I don't have an iDevice, so iTunes is the bane
devil
of my existence. Yeah, it is Satan.
Yep.
iTunes is Satan incarnate.
If you're not an Apple user, it is Satan. Do not install it on your computer.
Even if you are an Apple user, I know so many Apple users that just like have, it's the devil.
You know, the one thing, like, over the years, I've used a number of different devices to listen to music, and I listen to a lot of music. And quite honestly, my favorite music purchasing place now is Google Music. Because you can buy the album, you can download it, I think it's like 3 or 4 times as a zip file that you can put on any device. And you own it. Like, it's yours. You can put it on your backup drive. And if you ever lose your music, it's still there. And it's in your Google Play Store. So, like, I've done Amazon. I've done iTunes. And if I need to buy music, I always buy it on Google Music. It's DRM free, man.
Yeah.
I you got to go with that.
Absolutely.
So, sorry. I got us totally off track. So, that was books. So, should we move on to some podcasts or TV?
Podcasts.
Go for it.
I haven't. I usually listen to 8 million podcasts.
Yes, you do.
I had to cut back a bit with my homework load and that. But the one new one that I'm listening to is actually from the CBC. Not a big CBC fangirl. It's called Missing and Murdered.
Oh, of course, it's a mystery one.
Yeah. And this one is about Alberta something or other. I forget the last name. Who was in Prince Rupert kind of thing. And Highway of Tears.
Oh, yeah.
She was surrounded by people she knew, and then next thing she knows, she was gone. And it's like investigating
throughout
the whole thing. And it's quite thorough, like CBC tends to do kind of thing. But yeah, it's really good so far. They're about 5 episodes in. So.
Awesome. That actually sounds pretty interesting. I might be interested in that one.
Yeah. That's it for me for podcasts.
I picked up a new one. It's called The Story Collider.
Oh.
It's basically one story told at usually an event. It's a vetted story, and it has some relationship to science, although they're very, very loose sometimes. And it's like generally they're no more than 15 minutes long.
Oh, I like.
So it's just basically somebody telling a story about some event in their life. And sometimes it's like there was one woman there talking about she was a scientist, but she'd also had like literally her entire stomach removed. She would die if she ate food.
Oh my God.
And she talked a bit about her experience of like living without being able to eat.
Okay. That's
weird. That's probably one of the more dramatic personal stories, but also just, stories about like being on one guy talked about being on this remote island in like I think it was the South Pacific. Oh, it was where the Bounty, Mutiny on the Bounty. It was the island that they wound up on, and he was doing research there, and he talked about his experience of being...
And sorry, what's this called?
Story Collider.
That sounds cool. I might check that one out.
It's like it's a nice little...
I like the short ones. Yeah. Then I can listen to a couple of them at a time. I haven't really picked up anything new, but I have been going back occasionally and listening to some of the More Perfect podcast. It was it's a spinoff of
Radiolab?
Yes, that's right. So it's the Radiolab spinoff where it's all about the Supreme Court in the U.S. And like the special cases. They've been playing like over the last year that I've been listening to Radiolab because this is like new from the summer. Mm-hmm. And they played, I think it was like two episodes from it on the regular show. And I needed some stuff to listen to the other day. So I kind of downloaded some back episodes and it's really, really interesting.
I hate that. There's a couple different shows I listened to that now have been playing other episodes from other things on it. So like I downloaded it. I didn't download that. I downloaded because I thought a new episode of whatever was up.
Yeah,
that kind of cheeses me off.
But I've been enjoying that. And there's a I was telling you guys the other day about there's a three-part miniseries from WEBZ Chicago, whatever the public radio station in Chicago is, about Oprah. Because I guess it's the 30th anniversary of the airing of the show. And it's three parts. It's basically 3 hours long because each episode is about 60 minutes. It's really, really interesting. And it basically tracks Oprah from before she went national all the way down to the, you know, the season 25. And why the show finally, you know, they called it quits. And it's really, really interesting. It's far more interesting than I ever thought it could be. So I'd highly recommend that. It's a quick listen and it's short and limited series. So it's good. It's like an event podcast. I can get behind that. So I'd really recommend that. It's a good one. That's all I got.
Cool.
Toxin TV. TV.
Well, for me, as always, it's Netflix.
Yes. I have some of those.
Two shows I've seen and two that are just starting that all excited about. One is called Haters Back Off, which is severely messed up. It's this girl who has zero talent and lots of questionable personality traits and everything else who decides she wants to be famous. And she goes about it by basically making YouTube videos of her singing. And it's horrible. But her uncle is like totally uber supportive and is going to manage her career. And it's a train wreck. It literally is a train wreck watching the whole damn thing. And the other one, also a train wreck, but this one's from Britain. It's called Chewing Gum. And yeah, it also is just questionable life choices. Like, what is going on with you people?
This is not where I thought she was going when she said Netflix. What else do you got?
So those are two TV series, train wreck television to watch for Haters Back Off and Chewing Gum. The two shows that are just starting, they were released today. One is The Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life.
Yes.
I wouldn't say I was an Uber fan, but I watched them all.
You're an Uber fan.
Mostly because I liked the moms, the grandmother and the grandpa. They were awesome in it, kind of thing. As rich, elite, snob assholes. I love those guys. And then the other one was Mr. Selfridge, season 4.
Oh, yes.
Is coming out. So I was like happy to see that today. So
nice.
When I don't have tons of homework, I'll be able to watch that.
There you go.
And that's it for me.
I am wanting to see the Gilmore Girls. I must admit, I watched the series when it came out. I read a really interesting thing. I think it was on, of course it was on Vice, from someone who had been a Gilmore Girls fan when she was growing up. And she's like, I rewatched it and I realized like Rory is like a really bad person.
Oh, absolutely. She is...
I love it.
She is horrible
and
human
then,
being.
Yeah, she cataloged the whole thing and then talked about like, wow, talk about white privilege. Anyway, but yes, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I've never seen an entire episode of Gilmore Girls, but it's kind of like pop culture stuff. Well, you know, so I might give it a go.
The thing that attracted me to it the most, I mean, other than like they really did nail the actors in the different roles. And they had like fun, quirky, but I just loved the dialogue. I forget who the producer was. Palantino, Amy.
That sounds right.
Whoever was doing the writing, I just love that really fast paced, really
back and forth,
witty, back and forth dialogue. Like, it's one of the reasons I really like the Thin Man series.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
The first one, anyway.
The quick quips back and forth.
Yeah, and
how many is had? Well, you better get me that many.
Yeah, I can catch up. No one else. You have to be a Thin Man fan to know what that scene is.
I watched them all. It's diminishing returns, but God, they're all still
It truly is diminishing returns, and there's one like really bad clunker. But anyway,
yeah, fifth one.
And it was so different from everything else on TV in terms of dialogue. Anyway,
anywho,
we just talked about my guilty pleasure, I guess, Stand Against Evil, which is so close to being awesome, but there's just something about the writing. It isn't quite hitting the mark. I get mad at it sometimes, but on the other hand, I'm still watching it, so
something's working.
There's something there. Well, I know what's bugging me about it. It's still a little bit too cliche, although they are having fun with some of the tropes. That's one of the main draws. But it still doesn't quite get the women in quite the right place. Like, it's almost
there.
Almost there. The first show with the daughter has this kind of awesome thing with like a Jaws homage going on, which is kind of cool. But anyway, there's still a little bit. They still get saved a bit too much, even though they do have some agency. So that kind of chokes me a bit. But a whole bunch of my old favorites are back. I won't talk about those, like Flash and Elementary and all those. But new stuff, there's Bull. And I don't know, I'm such a sucker for procedurals.
Oh, okay.
This is Michael Waverly from NCIS, sorry.
Yeah.
NCIS is the computer store down here. So he left the series. I used to watch NCIS, so I got kind of curious. I went and I watched the last episode that he was in just to see how they handled that. It was kind of interesting. I haven't watched that series for years. It's like, holy cow, they've been on for a long time.
Yes.
So he I don't know if you're familiar with his new show, but he plays a jury analyst, professor.
Oh, okay. I saw a trailer for that and I thought it looked kind of interesting.
And it's basically, you know, they're figuring out how to win the court case. But it like I say, it is a pure procedural, but the casting is really good. And they press all the right buttons for a brainless procedural where everything's going to turn out at the end. And I kind of need a place, just like I need my cheesy Supergirl.
Yeah.
I need at least, you know, one good procedural to kind of lock that in. One of the new ones that's kind of quirky that, again, it's playing with tropes is called People of Earth. And this reporter has a UFO kidnapping experience in this town, and it turns out there's this big alien plot, and you actually get to see the aliens, and some of them are kind of screw ups.
Where do you find these shows? I don't understand. I thought I watched a lot of TV, but you watch all the stuff that like I've never heard of. It's weird.
It is just so far it's been kind of fun, and I have no idea where this show is going. But I can't even remember some of the funny stuff. I think, and there's another new one that just is fairly recently out called Falling Water.
Which I also haven't heard of.
I think technically it's a horror. Like, I'm kind of surprised I'm watching this too because it's totally not my wheelhouse. But it's kind of like in this world, people have a shared dream consciousness. And there's there's a definite conspiracy going on with that, and they're focusing on three characters.
I've actually seen a trailer for this.
Yeah, who are just starting to kind of come together. And this is going to be one of these shows. Like, I've watched a few shows where the premise is really, really interesting. And then as soon as I find out, like, all the mystery of the premise is gone, I totally lose interest in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that doesn't happen with this one because right now it's all about like, I have to see
where they're going with it.
Where they're going with this, you know, what this is all about. I think in terms of new ones, I mean, like I said, there's a whole bunch of Yeah, those are the new. Oh, and Westworld, of course.
Which I haven't. I'm like way behind. I'm like three episodes in. That's the one. Like Dan and I watched the first two episodes, and Dan really didn't get into it at all. And it's one I haven't had the time to really dig into, because I find that, like, a lot of the other stuff that I watch requires, like, if I can pause halfway through, it's not the end of the world. Whereas Westworld, it's like the kind of thing that you need to, like, from what I've seen, you need to be intensively paying attention. And so I'm going to wait for my Christmas break to really get into it.
That's probably, yeah, there's a lot of, like, continuous minutia threads. I it's not blowing my socks off.
Okay.
I mean, I'm interested in enough in it that I'm going to keep watching it. And some of the perform, like, Thandie Newton.
She's pretty great.
Blowing it out of the park.
Yeah.
And
she's certainly my favorite of the three episodes that I've seen so far. And she's not in it enough as far as I'm concerned.
I think the balance is kind of okay at this point. We'll see how the story goes.
No.
I don't, like I say, like her performance and her character is just kind of amazing. And, what's his name? I can't remember the guy that has all the dramatic chops. Why can't I remember his name? Silence of the Lambs.
Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. Like, his performance is also amazing. And actually, I mean, there is the acting with the synthetic androids, robots, I don't know what to call them. In the show, they call them hosts. There are a whole bunch of actors that are just doing these really great performances when they switch between, like, this neutral mode and actually being in character.
Yeah.
Some, like, really amazing performances there, too. So it's good. It's kind of funny, you know, because it's HBO and they have all of these hits. I'm kind of comparing it to, like, their knockout thing. It is a great show. It's not an amazing show like they've had with some of their series. So, you know, it's such a higher bar for them, but it's a good show.
Yeah, I'll catch up with that hopefully over the holidays. So I have a couple of things that I caught up with kind of like madly. A bunch of stuff sort of started and ended while I was in the middle of festival craziness. So I did finally catch up with the last season of Masters of Sex, which was a little bit of a disappointment, but still okay, mostly because the performances are really, really good.
Endings are hard.
Well, the show isn't over.
Oh, it isn't?
Just the season. It's like the first two seasons were really, really good. I think that this was season four. It's kind of like, it's actually three or four. I'm not 100% sure, but it's kind of like in a, not a funk, but I don't know. It's kind of this gray area where the performances are still really good. The story is kind of like wavering a little bit. So it did end on a bit of a high note. So I'm kind of curious to see where they go with it. But I'm assuming that at this point, they're probably pretty close to being finished. But the season is done. So that was good. I did finally mainline the last season of The Fall. I had to. Come on, of course. It's on Netflix, so for anybody else that wants to see it, it's good. I wish there would be more, but there won't be. So that's sad. Well, there might be with just Gillian Anderson, and that would be totally okay with me because she's kind of amazing in it. And the season was like very different from the other two. It had a little bit of remember that movie with Edward Norton where he pretends to be slow, but he's actually like a killer? The one with a priest? I can't remember what it's called now off the top of my head. Okay, I'm totally like talking in circles.
Death to Smoochie.
No, not that one.
All right.
But it kind of has this weird storyline to it. But I mean, it's still a really good season, but it wasn't as good as the first two, but still a solid finish. And Dornan is pretty good in it as well, which is great. Okay, so more Netflix stuff. The Crown.
Holy shit, yeah, The Crown was brilliant.
I was going to say, how the fuck did you not watch The Crown?
Well, this because is like there's your no thing. Way of seeing what you've actually watched once you've watched it.
It's true. So The Crown is a badass.
Holy shit, is it ever.
So Claire Foy as Elizabeth, and Mr. Doctor Who.
Matt Smith is...
He's pretty great.
Prince Philip. But, honestly, they're both overshadowed completely by John Lithgow's performance as Winston Churchill. Yes. My God.
Agreed. He's pretty amazing.
Well,
pretty
Lithgow amazing. Is normally amazing, but wow.
But, I mean, even the physical performance on his part is impressive. It's a really, really, really good, like...
Cannot recommend it enough.
Peter Morgan did a pretty good job. I'm game. I'm game for more. Give me more.
Absolutely.
And I also watched Victoria, which is the ITV miniseries on Queen Victoria.
Yep.
So there is that. So I watched two.
Very royalist. Very royalist screening, of me. Yeah.
It's true.
Monarchy.
That one stars Jenna Coleman, also of Doctor Who fame, I understand. I don't watch Doctor Who, so maybe. I don't know. I think she was on Doctor Who.
Who knows? Who hasn't been?
But it's also pretty good. It's it's more of a far more, I think, dramatic in the retelling of Victoria's life. I don't think it's quite as true to form as Peter Morgan's Elizabeth, but it's super entertaining. Coleman is really, really good. And Daisy Goodwin, the showrunner, she kind of has a knack for these kinds of things. I actually read one of her books. I'm like, the name sounds familiar. Where do I know her from? It was one of the vaginal fantasy picks from like last year, which I actually read.
Okay.
So yeah, it's true. It's good. I really, really enjoyed it. Apparently they're making a season two. So, hey, there's that to look forward to for next year. And that, I think, is coming to the U.S. sometime early next year. And finally, by far my favorite show of the winter season. It's Canadian. It's sci-fi. And it's on Showcase.
Frequency? Oh, okay. Never
mind. No, I'm watching Travelers, the Eric McCormack TV show.
Oh, really?
Which is fucking awesome. Like,
maybe I'll check it. I don't, you know, me and time travel.
Dude, it's so good.
God, that sounds like such a worn out trope. Oh. Like chasing the bad guy through history, right?
Not really.
No?
No. So this comes from Brad Wright, who is been working in Stargate since 1997. Like literally that's all he's done on TV is Stargate. Forever.
All right.
So they canceled Stargate, right?
Now I have to get a real job.
Pretty much. So, like, basically, I actually saw him at Fan Expo. They did, one of their late editions was a writer's panel, and they had, like, a really talented group of Canadian showrunners. Like, it was fucking impressive. It was, like, Canadian TV royalty.
So Dom DeLuise was there.
Sure. So the concept here is people from the future get sent to the present to try to save the world. But the way that they get it has more of a 12 Monkeys feel to it because the future hasn't pieced together everything. They only have small parts of the story. So the travelers come back into bodies of people that die. Because they're trying not to like mess with the timeline as much as possible. So they don't just go into anybody. They go into a body of somebody that's going to die because eventually they're going to die too. Because the concept is if they actually manage to save the world, they want to have as little consequence as possible. Well, so there's all these rules that they follow. And there's like the director who's apparently like guiding the entire thing. We know very little about him. We're like 7 episodes in and there's still all this mystery. It's amazing. It's really well acted. McCormack is the only actor that I recognize from anybody else. It's a super talented group of people. They usually come back in groups of 5 because there's like the leader of the group and then there's like a specialist for history and a doctor and like so. But I mean, it's neat. Like, I don't know. I just...
Quantum Leap meets Assassin's Creed meets
almost. It's really
12 Monkeys.
Like one of the things that like right from the first episode, it's like one of the girls who plays. She ends up being the doctor. The body that she goes into, they didn't know that that woman was actually mentally challenged. So she basically has like the understanding of a third grader. And all of a sudden she wakes up one day, like she has this thing happen to her. She wakes up and her social worker is like, what's going on? You're normal. Like it's bizarre and nobody knew, right? It's like, yeah, well, part of the story that you didn't know is that, you know, she was slow, and now everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? So this is weird. But I mean, the show was really, really great. And the way that they're building it is fantastic. And the acting is good. It's shot locally. And even though it's not set in Vancouver, it's set on the West Coast. They don't hide the fact that it's Vancouver. And seriously, from the opening 30 seconds, I'm like, I'm sold. Mm-hmm. I'm totally sold. It's really good. I'm praising it to everybody.
I just might have to give that one a chance.
I love it. I love it. It's by far my favorite show that I've seen this season. It's awesome. And it's currently on Showcase in Canada, so you can stream it on the Showcase website. I don't know if it's, I know that Netflix picked it up in the States, but I don't know if it's already on Netflix or if it's coming to Netflix, because I don't have Netflix American, so I have no idea. But look for it, travelers. It's awesome. And Eric McCormick is really good at it.
From what I'm hearing, most Canadians don't have Netflix American anymore.
I can still access it, actually. My VPN actually works.
Oh, wow.
I just haven't logged in to check.
Shh.
Don't care. I can tell you which one I use. It's really good. So, yeah, that's my TV praising.
All right.
I had to give it up for the Canadian show, which is awesome.
Good.
Have you seen any movies? I think Netflix is your friend.
What time do I have to leave my house? Like, if I watch anything, I'm usually doing homework and, like, sort of, like, watching it in the background. Which probably doesn't really help my math, but...
But you still manage like the 88%, so that's saying
93.5.
Whatever, in the 90s.
Which for me is like amazing.
It's amazing for anybody.
Yeah. No movies, but I will say this is a video game thing. Again, I don't have time to play it right now, but I'm super excited about this. My favorite band ever is a band from Chilliwack called The Darkest of the Hillside Thickets.
They have a game?
Well, no, here's the thing. They're releasing a new album, apparently supposed to, like, this month, but the artist, Chris Woods, is a little bit behind in making the album cover. He's actually releasing stop motion sort of him painting the album cover, and it's amazing because he's freaking an amazing artist. I say amazing a lot. Anyway, so this isn't got anything to do with their new album. This has to do with not even their old album. It has to do with an album one back. It was called Spaceship Zero. And this album was a concept album. They did
a
soundtrack to a movie that was made in the 50s, except for that movie never existed. They made up a fake movie to make a fake soundtrack for. And then they basically made an RPG, like a Dice 20 sort of game that you can play with it. They've gone and made a radio series of the lost episodes. And it's not like necessarily all the episodes. They found a scattering of some of the original radio episodes of this fake show that was based off the movie. It just gets weirder and weirder. But the best thing is...
The levels of meta are too many to keep track.
They have a big fan base, and their fan base isn't 20 years old. These are all now people, a lot of them are in their 40s. They all have some mad skills, and they have some game developers and things like that on their, like, are big Uber fans. So they decided to create a Fallout 4 mod. So you can play out Fallout 4 and change the game so that you can like wear like Thicket's t-shirts, do actual quests for to find Mario's guitar is like somewhere out there. And oh my god, it just, my favorite band now has a Fallout 4 mod, and that was the only reason I bought an Xbox in the first place, was to play Fallout. And like, I finished most of it, so now I have a reason to go back and play Fallout again.
That's hilarious. Dan is currently obsessed with Fallout.
It's the best game. I love Fallout.
I mean, I don't play, so I basically, my experience of gaming is through watching Dan play. I'm kind of digging Titanfall, man.
That
looks pretty good.
I'm not a big gamer, but like, there's something about the series Fallout that is just, it's meant for me. That game was written, developed for me.
Yeah, he's
nuclear waste, radiation, mutant cockroaches, damn right. It's all for me.
Yep, not for me.
Yeah. So my favorite band now has a mod. Oh, and in the mod, if you complete certain things, you can access the radio station on your wristband that plays the actual album. No, it plays the radio shows from Spaceship Zero that they made on it.
Oh my God.
And then some, I think four tracks from their new album are also played in on that radio station. And at this point, it's about the only way you can listen to those tracks or something. I don't know. It's
okay. That's totally fucking hardcore.
I love this band so badly. They are so weird. Like, they are not your typical band. I love them.
This is all very meta.
Plus, their drummer got me into plumbing, so.
There is that.
Bad props.
What do I know?
And their rhythm guitarist went to Iceland with me, so mad props to that.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's me for video games.
I have a video game thing.
Okay.
I bought an NES Classic.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Did you find the extension cords, or are you like 3 feet away from the actual
okay,
TV?
So, we bought two of them. We bought three. There's a story there. But we bought one for my cousin Dave. Mm-hmm. And so we were at Fan Expo that weekend. So we're in the hotel room on Saturday night. And Dave comes over and he's like, let's break this sucker open. So we literally plugged it into the television at the hotel room. And then sat like 3 feet from the TV because that's how long the cable is.
Yeah.
And took turns playing. It's pretty lame. But so, yeah, I got it home and we plugged it in. And same thing. I'm literally sitting on the ottoman because the cable is only so long.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I did eventually find a cable.
Oh,
they,
nice.
They came back in stock. Limit of one per customer. Yeah, so Dan wouldn't buy one, so we only have one extension cable.
What?
Mind you, we only have one controller at the moment. So, hey, whatever.
All right.
Shortage of everything. But it's pretty awesome. It even has a setting where you can change it to a CRT filter.
Oh, so it looks like crap.
Yeah, nice. It's pretty funny.
Well, okay, there's an interesting story around that. I was reading a piece by a museum that's trying to archive these old games.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how, because the games were designed for CRTs, the look of the game will change on digital and will change for the worse because when they designed the pixels, they knew that they would bleed together. So the makes artist sense. Specifically designed, you know, a thing to look correct when the pixels bled together. So when you get this nice, clean, crisp.
It doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right.
I changed it because, I mean, it's like as much as Dan likes the concept of it, he's not playing it. The only times that little box is turned on is when I turned it on to play. So, I mean, it certainly looks pretty cool. I've forgotten how bad some of the games were. And I mean, Legend of Link is really terrible.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's terrible. Like, it is a bad Zelda game. The second one is really good. But the first one was like one of those side-scroller ones. And it's just weird. Like, I'd never played it. I thought I had, but I never had. It's weird. But I mean, there's some good stuff on there, and there's some stuff that I'll never play again. But, I mean, for Mario alone, it's worthwhile, and the music,
so,
and it's just nostalgia.
Video game museum. Do you think they need a copy of the Hudson Hawk video game? Because I have that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I no longer have a Game Boy, but you know what? I have the Hudson Hawk. I will not get rid of it. It's in my curio cabinet of things of awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if you can find one of those NES classics, it's totally worth it. It's pretty fun.
The extension is what you're saying.
Yeah, the fact that the cord that comes with the controller is only 3 feet long.
That's
is
ludicrous.
Ridiculous.
It would have cost them what, like a total of 22 cents to get another 3 feet.
And not
there?
Just that, like the additional controllers come out December 2nd. We ordered one that has like a turbo button. Remember the turbo button?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we pre-ordered it, and that one has a 6-foot cable, so it actually makes sense.
Weird.
Right? But yeah, the 3-foot cable is just so strange because you're literally sitting in front of the TV. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, for the amount of money they saved on not giving you a 6-foot cable, they're going to get
cable. I don't even think it's the money. I think it's because the old controllers only had a 3-foot cable.
Did they?
Yeah, they were pretty short. I don't know if it only 3 feet.
Oh, you know what it was, though? Usually the console was, like, right beside you, and then you had cables going to the TV.
Long cables away. To the TV.
Yeah.
Because we had the ColecoVision on our ottoman, and then, like,
yeah.
You know, that's not any.
But, I mean, it's cool. I mean, if you can find one now, I think it's going to be the thing for Christmas. But it's totally worth the $80. It was $80 in Canada. Well, $90 after taxes, so.
I've asked for socks. Nothing but socks. I want an avalanche of socks.
So we sidetracked from movies to video games. Sorry, Dale.
To socks. No,
video games are we've done video games.
Yeah,
before.
We have.
I haven't. I've been tempted to buy some, but life is so busy now. I don't need another distraction.
Dan just bought a PS4 Pro. He upgraded in anticipation of our new 4K TV, which we have not bought. How this works, I have no idea, but yes. So now we have an Xbox One S or whatever it is, and the PS4 Pro.
See, what little time I have lately, I've been doing painting. So
I actually, this works out for me because Dan's been playing video games, so I can watch TV in the bedroom watch stuff that I want to watch.
Perfect.
And I don't have to fight over the television. So it kind of works out. Nice. I don't feel bad about leaving him to play video games for 3 hours. Because I can catch up really fast.
Sounds perfectly reasonable.
Exactly. So what do you got for movies, Dale?
I caught up on a lot of movies. I don't know if we want to... Nothing like you, though. I've been watching your...
I'm way behind. I've been, powering through shit.
Whatchamacallit. What is that website called? Anyway.
Yeah. Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. Yeah. What do we want to... I really like Kubo and the Two Strings.
I was really
sad to hear that it didn't do well theatrically, even though people loved it. Someone told me it was because of the other movies it was up against.
Maybe.
It was just like it kind of didn't stand a chance with... Secret Life of Pets,
I think it
something,
was.
Something, yeah, kind of just... Anyway, it's a wonderful story. Watch some old movies, Rocket Ship XM.
Oh, yeah, you were
1950.
Talking about this.
I was watching it with a friend of mine who's roughly in the same generation I am. So we're like two older white guys watching this. And even we almost fell off the couch when it's this classic sci-fi. There's four men and one woman on this spaceship, right, with like, no bathroom or change room. You're like, anyway. But the woman makes a comment and the guy is like making some remark that involves how emotional women are.
Oh, God.
And we both, we looked at each other and almost fell off our chairs.
Oh, my God.
It was, and just a whole bunch of other stuff that just classic 50s. It was actually kind of funny. Forbidden Planet, for what it's worth, is still my favorite.
Yeah.
Classic sci-fi show. On Saturn 3, which had Farrah Fawcett.
Wow.
And Kirk Douglas.
Wow.
And I had never... This was... was it the 70s or the 80s it came out? Right about the time she was divorcing Lee Majors. So it was before she'd kind of proven her acting chops with The Burning Bed. I don't know if any of you remember that.
Nope.
Yeah.
She got some critical acclaim for that, like after doing Charlie's Angels, where they thought she was just like a bubblehead.
Yeah.
What a bizarre movie. And Kirk Douglas in it. The backstory for the movie is more interesting
than the actual movie,
but the sets are gorgeous. Like they apparently had two studios worth of sets.
Wow,
these sets are amazing. The story not so much. back to stuff. I finally got to see like Suicide Squad and Ghostbusters, and
I liked Ghostbusters. I haven't seen Suicide Squad yet.
Ghostbusters was just okay. I thought they kind of. The villain wasn't good enough.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it wasn't the best, and I don't even think it was the best Ghostbusters movie. It could have been, and it really stumbles at the end, I find. But
yeah.
I think it's fun, and it's certainly an interesting and entertaining take on the material.
I found it entertaining. It didn't kind of hit my threshold of amazing.
Yeah, no, not mine either.
I saw Yoga Hosers.
Oh, God.
I liked Yoga Hosers.
What?
It was what it was, man.
Oh, my God.
It did not pretend to be anything more than it was, and I got a kick out of it.
Well, I shouldn't say that because I haven't seen it, but the trailer just totally
don't see it if the trailer doesn't. But, I mean, the Bratsies, like the Bratwurst Nazis, and kind of, it was just, the only thing that was strange about it was they...
You mean there was just a little something that was strange about it?
Well, for me, I should say, was they did the really affected Canadian accents. And
just leave Canada alone. And, Kevin Smith needs to leave Canada alone.
Pink Panther. That's Inspector Clouseau. If you watch Inspector Clouseau and you think that's okay, you can't complain about
I don't think that that's okay either, but that was of its time. I don't think Kevin Smith has any excuse.
Like I said, I found it had it's one of those movies, like I won't call it a great movie. I got a kick out of it. Doctor Strange was awesome.
Yeah, I agreed. I actually thought it was badass.
Suicide Squad, Margot Robbie was the best thing in there. My God, like Will Smith, like, as was it Bullseye, Deadeye?
Don't know. Haven't seen it yet.
Didn't work for me.
Yeah. That movie had a lot of problems. Yeah. I'd actually be interested in seeing the director's cut if they ever managed to release that, because it sounds like the movie went through a lot of studio interference. After the fact, especially during editing. So I have a feeling that there's probably a good movie buried in there somewhere.
I kind of felt like that way too. Yeah. Like there were moments in there that I like. Jared Leto's Joker just did not work for me.
Yeah. And I mean, there's clearly, I mean, because I haven't seen it. So I'm speaking specifically from what I've seen and what I've read. And it certainly seems like somewhere in there was probably a good concept and a good movie that they filmed that just got lost in the editing because of the involvement of the studio. But from what I saw of it, there was just some stuff from the get-go that was never going to work. And the Joker was one of them. Like, I just, when I saw that in the trailer, I just, right off the bat, it was just like a gut punch reaction. I just didn't care for it. I don't know why. I just didn't do anything for me. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I've waited so long to see it and why I still haven't seen it. I'm secretly hoping that they'll do a director's cut release and then, you know, I'll get to see the good version of it. But
fortunately, he doesn't feature too much.
Oh, that's good.
In the movie. So that part's okay. It's one of those movies where you're like, wow, they had like all the ingredients here. I hope they get a second chance to get it right the next time. Because didn't quite make it this time. And the last one I'll mention is Sully.
Oh, yeah, which I saw recently.
Yeah, like, and, you know, you're talking about, you know, the solid Tom Hanks performance. Yep. The movie overall was interesting. I think it would have been better as, like, a half-hour little documentary kind of thing.
I mean, Clint Eastwood is... He's his own worst enemy. I mean, the movie is not badly made. It's just, and actually, I thought like the performances are really good, and obviously the story is really great. And I actually thought the ending was really effective. It just seemed a little bit too long and a little bit too draggy for what was there for me. But I still found it like rather moving and kind of like interesting in that respect. It's just not great.
Yeah. The problem I had with the movie was it was not nuanced enough. There was not any real, oh God, my words are gone. Not conflict, but tension. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of tension, but it did not build to any kind of tension at all. So you did not get any, it was really flat.
Mm.
So there was some interesting details. There were some great performances which kept it from being, for me, like a total write-off. And some like interesting bits.
Yeah.
Here and
I
there.
I actually found that the best parts of the movie were actually the interrogation bits.
Yeah. Well, there was tension there, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. And Anna Gunn is really good in it.
Yeah.
The woman from Breaking Bad, she has very little, like her role is rather small, but she's memorable. She's really good.
Of all of the NTSB people, like you really believed it's like, we're going to roast you, right?
Yeah,
and exactly. then we had some tension and it was like, holy shit.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Those were the best moments of the movie for sure. Yeah, you're totally right. Anything else?
I think that's all. I finally saw Gravity after all this time.
And?
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
did see The Martian, right?
I have seen The Martian. Okay, yeah. I must say the misdirection towards the end of the movie where he's not dead. No, he is. Like that was well done.
Did you watch the companion piece to Gravity?
No.
The short film? It's on YouTube. You should look it up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It fits in nicely with the movie. It's a nice little bookend for it. It's pretty good. And it's only like 10 minutes long or something. Like you said, I've been trying to catch up on stuff that I missed throughout the year because it's been busy. And for whatever reason, I kind of left it. I just didn't see a lot of stuff. So I was looking at my list the other day and was freaking out like royally. Because I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to be like picking favorite movies of the year. And I've seen a lot of crap and a lot of really bad B movies and not a lot of the good stuff. So I better start watching some stuff. So I have. But I won't talk about all of it. I'll just talk about some of my favorites. So I finally saw Hello, My Name is Doris, which is the sweetest, funnest, like most charming thing I've seen all year.
Refresh my memory.
It's Sally Field.
Oh, right.
The one where she plays the, so basically she works at a young, hip, creative, I think it's some sort of, they make commercials, a publicity firm.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, she's basically a leftover from the old regime. And this new creative consultant guy comes in and she has a crush. And she's significantly older than he is. He's like this 20-some-year-old hipster. And it's just super, super sweet. And she's navigating, you know, modern technology with the help of her best friend's granddaughter. It's just, there's like an energy to her that's just enchanting. And like, I dare anybody to watch it and not feel like happy after it. It's just so fun. And Sally Field is just amazing in it. Eye in the Sky, which is a total surprise. So this is the Helen Mirren.
Yeah. I actually have seen that one.
Oh yeah. The drone one. I was like on the edge of my seat for most of this. I was really impressed by how tension filled it is, considering it's mostly people talking about a moral dilemma. It's like, really? Wow, this is really, really good. And it is. It's really, really good. Performances are great. The script is awesome. It's really well edited. It's super effective. I finally saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
On my list.
It's very long, but I never felt like I never looked at my watch. I was totally enthralled. Eddie Redmayne is really, really good. He's a really physical actor, obviously. I mean, that's kind of why he won an Oscar. But he kind of brings that to all of his performances. And his performance here is really good. And it's just this, like, Harry Potter was okay for me, but I was never like a huge fan of the book. So it was kind of like this really great fantasy. And I didn't even watch all of them. So I was kind of like, nah, whatever. But this was, it's a little more adult and the themes are a little more adult and it's really good. So it's, you know, Redmayne is this magician who comes from the UK to deliver, basically to release a fantastic beast back into the wild. And apparently like some of these animals are not allowed in the US anymore. And along the way, he's basically saving New York City from this weird, crazy spirit. It's very, very, you know, fantasy-y.
Is that the guy who played Stephen Hawking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. It's very fantastical. The visuals are amazing. And it's just really well done. Nice little romance, hint of romance, too. So it's good. I really enjoyed it. We had a good time. Edge of 17 is awesome. This is Hailee Steinfeld. She plays a teenage girl sort of coming to terms with the fact that her best friend is in love with her brother, and she's having some family issues as well. Woody Harrelson plays her English teacher, history teacher, who she kind of like depends on to help her out. It's nothing that you haven't seen before. It's very John Hughes, but it's done really, really well. And Seinfeld is really good in it, like really good in it. It's like she's like your typical teenager, but really relatable and shot locally. I hadn't, like, it kind of looked familiar, and then halfway through the movie, there's this amazing direct shot of Duffin's Donuts. And I'm like, wait, I've been there? And it's funny because Woody Harrelson actually makes a funny comment about the donuts there. He's like, did you eat at one of the donuts? And then he puts some money in a bin because she didn't. But the donuts there are amazing for anybody that doesn't know. And Morris from America, which I watched just the other day. This is the one with Craig Robinson. He and his son are living in Germany, and his son is like a teenage boy.
He's
13.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's really good. I mean, I don't love it. It kind of misses a little bit for me because the story is mostly about the kid trying to fit in and find his way in Germany. But the father-son relationship is really, really endearing. And Robinson is really great. Really, really great. And the opening scene is amazing because they're talking about music. And at one point he's like, I'm going to ground you. Your taste in music is fucking terrible. And I'm like, yeah, my kind of dad. That's going to be Auntie Marina. Your music sucks. I'm grounding you. Sorry.
That's the way you have to be.
No shit, right?
Damn
no
right. Shit, bad right? Aunts for life.
And you gotta teach these kids the right things to listen to and the right things to watch, man.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, I really liked it. It's very, very charming. Craig Robinson is quite good in it. And I've seen more stuff, but that's the stuff that I kind of wanted to mention.
I remembered one from Netflix I saw, an actual movie thing. This one was the sort of, I don't know what the hell you call it, documentary, mockumentary, whatever, on Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, yeah, I like Eddie the Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle, you know what? When I think of all the past Olympics, I can tell you exactly two stories from them. Eddie the Eagle, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yep. Yeah.
Both happened in Calgary in 1988 before they started tightening the crap out of eligibility.
Becoming pricks.
Rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely becoming pricks.
Eddie the Eagle was awesome.
Did you see that?
I did. It's
brilliant. They must have searched high and low for the goofiest looking bastard in all of Britain.
And actually, he generally doesn't look like that.
No. Like.
He really got the cut and the glasses and wow.
Holy cow, yeah. He looks demented.
Totally. No, I really like that movie. It's so charming. It's another one that's kind of just like you watch and you're like, wow, I feel good.
Can you push me?
What?
It's pretty good.
Is it day one? Lands the 15 meter. Oh, mastered that. I think I'm up for the 40.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Dan and I really enjoyed that. That one was really good. Really, really good.
It's quality. And you know what? I was like fairly young when 88 happened. I don't remember the fact that he wasn't supposed to do the 90-meter jump. Like, he did the 70-meter kind of thing. It's like, I landed it. I got 71, which is like the lowest by like about 30 feet.
Still the best in England.
Still the best to this day. Which is crazy. just at the spur of the moment went, you know what? I'm going to do the 90. Never done one before. Jumped it that
Why
day.
Not?
Why not?
Why not?
I love that. It's just like psycho. Are you going to jump?
You know what else is on Netflix that's really good and which I would recommend just because you mentioned Netflix? 13th, Ava DuVernay's documentary about the 13th Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really good. And it's funny because it's one of those documentaries that you watch it and that a lot of the information is not new. It's stuff that you've already heard and know about. But she crams a lot in there, and the connections that she makes are a little bit nuanced. And so the first time you watch it, it's like, okay, that was good, but not great. It plays way better on the second viewing. It's like, because I watched it the first time and I was kind of like, well, that was good, but it wasn't great. And then everybody was like raving about it. So I watched it again with Dan, and it's very, very nuanced. It's a really, really solid documentary. I'd highly recommend that. And I'm partway through OJ Made in America.
Oh, yeah.
I say partway because it's like 8 hours long. I kid you not.
Holy crap.
I kid you not. It came on two discs, and I'm like, how long is this fucking thing? And I put in the first disc, and it was like almost 4 hours long. And I'm like, how long is the second disc? And then I looked at the running time, and I'm like, oh my God. So Dan and I have literally been watching this for like 4 days. We watch it in like 2 hour blocks. It's crazy. Really good. Like, what we've seen so far is really good. He makes these, it's basically traces OJ Simpson, but because he's been like in the limelight for so long, it also traces race relations in America. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's really, really good. But yeah, it's just very, very long to try to watch in one sitting. Like, I don't know. Like, they played it at film festivals. I'm like, how do you even like watch this at a film festival? It's like 8 hours long. Legit.
Well, Bill and Jason watched that one film over two full days.
Okay, but Bill's crazy. We've already come to this conclusion.
I love you,
but you're crazy.
I'm singular. One of two people who have ever watched the entire film in a film festival.
In one sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's lots of good stuff floating around out there. It's been a good year. It's nice to be finally catching up. It seems like we're in the middle of the good stuff. But kind of bad complaining now about the rest of the year, because, you know, I did miss a lot of things. So slowly, I'll get there. Anything else? Anything else we want to mention?
No, I think I'm all done.
We're good for a couple of weeks.
Think so.
Low energy now. Oh, the pizza has worn off.
I don't know about low energy, but yeah, I would just be filling up space if I talk now, so I will not.
So come on by row3.com, check out the show notes. We're going to link to all of the stuff that we talked about today in case anything sounds of interest. And you haven't heard about like all of the stuff Dale's watching, because I really still don't know where you find these shows. Because then I'm like, really? Where is this on? I don't know. But I guess that's kind of the good thing about current TV too, right? There's a little bit of something for everyone.
The wonders of having information at your fingertips.
Exactly.
When you're bored looking for genre stuff,
there you go.
You know, you aren't. Yeah,
that's what happens. Be sure to check out some of the other podcasts, and we'll be back. I guess maybe before the new year with another show. I'm trying to think how the scheduling is going to work, but
I'll be done schooling mid-December. So
hey, you can watch the movies.
I mean, it'll be for like the January movies, but it'll be in December. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. So we'll hit you up with one more show before the end of the year. So come on by row3.com. Stay tuned for our, I guess by this point, the Whistler Film Festival have already passed. This gave away the fact that we are taping this early. I guess I could.
Not that early, actually.
No, not really, right?
Not that early at all. It's like, well, at time of taping, it's next week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that early.
No.
It's just because the cycle kind of thing, Whistler Film Fest actually is in part of November this time.
Yes.
So. I'm going to miss Zogs, I must admit.
Zog Dog.
I'll eat it for you, don't
worry. Yeah.
I'll make sure not to post
a picture. Take a picture and then gloat.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can go, damn you, while I'm sitting there doing math.
Sure. Sure. I'll even try to make change. That'll be bad math. So yeah, come on by row3.com, and we will see you or talk to you soon. Till the next one.
We'll see you after the credits.
I totally fucked that up. Sorry. Give it up.
You're a baller, Doris. Straight up.
Thank you.